This is the Tom Likas Show.
You're a freak with a microphone.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Oh, God!
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And in studio, we are joined by family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, welcome.
Hey, great to be here, Tom. How are you?
All right, what's going on?
Well, you know, Tom, it's a very interesting little factor. This is something you would relate to, I think. This is coming from our mutual Long Island background, you know. The Long Island was the birthplace of Levittown, where basically you could literally get online pretty drunk in the morning, sign your name a couple of times, and by the end of the day, you had a little tract house. And you had a mortgage for 30 years, and you could live there with your wife and 2.2 children and a dog and, you know, have a nice middle-class existence. And this is sort of the idyllic 1950s, 1960s TV sitcoms and whatnot. And they built these communities, you know, the actual company, which was Levitt, built Levittowns in New York and Pennsylvania and elsewhere, Florida. And then that was copied to some degree by other companies in different parts of the country. But you know, today, a woman is not going to settle for a middle class existence. Oh, no, no, no. There are too many multi-billionaires out there, and she needs one of those. I think that the public's fascination in the past couple of days, especially with Melania Trump, who I'm sorry to say, it doesn't seem all that bright, you know. She strikes me as a pretty second-tier, middle-of-the-road gold digger. And I think
also
she's
not that attractive now that she's shit out three kids.
Well, you know, there's a saying that children take a mother's beauty away. But they steal the mother's beauty, actually. But, you know, the daughters, anyway. But the bottom line is whatever she is or was, you know, they're coming up with naked or half-naked pictures of her, and everyone's in shock, but I heard she used to be a model. I'd never really heard of her, you know. She wasn't quite quite the A-list model. But, you know, if Trump's happy with her, that's great. But I think it's really the fascination of a woman who thinks the opposite, you know, that even when she's in her 40s, she's still going to get her billionaire, you know. And what seems to happen is sort of like what you've described with this lady you knew that was, I think, taking shot drinks and didn't have any money, so she let the guy fuck her and ended up having a baby with the bartender, which, incidentally, is the story of the plot of Sex and the City. One of the girls of the four, the Fab Four, the lawyer, Miranda, ended up having a child with a bartender. Woo! Good for her. After waiting all those years for her perfect man, she really underdid herself. But you know, what's really fascinating, Tom, and this is an interesting outgrowth. This is a story that I posted on Facebook. And this is a real family law story. So there's a guy out there who got involved with a woman and did our favorite thing, Tom. Remember starter marriage?
Starter husbands.
Yes, yes. He was the starter husband, and they were married very briefly in their early 20s for about 3 or 4 months. Then they broke up, and being the rather careless soul that he is, he never bothered to get a divorce. Now, Tom, seriously, I have a lot of people calling me that haven't seen their wife. This is, you know, mostly guys, or I have a few women as well, mostly guys, though, haven't seen their partner or whatever they are, in 10, 15, 20 years, but never filed for a divorce. And so they say through a laugh, hey, I'm still technically married to her. And I say to the guy, are you seriously out of your mind? I mean, that is absolutely crazy. You don't know what she's doing. You know what kind of debt she's racking up. She could be getting involved in all kinds of nonsense, and sooner or later, when they can't collect from her, they're going to come looking for you.
Well, by the way, let's remind everybody, she could be out there having babies.
Oh, I was just getting to that.
Oh!
See, Tom, you're always 10 steps ahead, my friend.
Oh, my!
This is what I love about you, Tom.
That's all I could think about.
Well, here it comes. So, in this story, which is in one of the British papers, by the way, but I think it was an American, the guy had not spoken to her in about 16 or 17 years, and somewhere along, you know, recently, she had a baby. And being a typical woman, she had the baby with a complete moron, you know, loser, and, you know, can't find the guy, can't remember his name. But she's still married to our hero from 17 years ago, and so she filed the child support case against him. Oh. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
And it's a basic presumption of law that when someone's married and they have a child, the husband is the father of that child. Jeez. And so I think this was in Iowa, but anyway, apparently... I think I could have fixed this one, but apparently this guy did not have a lawyer. He went to the child support people or whatever it is in Iowa, and, you know, every state has this, but whatever it was, and they told him that because he's her husband, he's stuck paying child support for a child, obviously, that couldn't possibly be his. There's no DNA test necessary. He hasn't seen the woman in 17 years, but that doesn't matter because he's still married to her. They literally stuck it to him for child support. That should be an education.
Jesus. Unbelievable. Now,
Tom, I got to tell you, I talked to a lot of women I went on dates with, and they told me, this happened to me a couple of times. You know, hey, by the way, I'm technically married. And I'm like,
right.
What? Well, you know, blah, blah. It was 10 years ago, and I don't know, you know, where he is. And one of the big things is, of course, that if they were going to file a divorce, they have to serve him with the papers, right? But, of course, they don't even know where the hell he's living, so they can't serve him. So that kind of justifies it in their head, you know? Well, I don't know. And you wouldn't believe these guys turn around and move to another state, and they marry another woman. Without divorcing the first one. So that's a nice little bigamous marriage and all that other good stuff.
Jesus.
Unbelievable.
It's amazing.
What it really shows, and this is something that I can't emphasize enough, is that, you know, theoretically, Tom, I know it sounds crazy, but at one time, supposedly, getting married was a real sacrament, you know? And if everyone really believed in God and it was like this whole, you know, kind of community of people... Then you went to the church and you were united as a couple before God, and you're both virgins, of course, and so you're only with each other for eternity and all that kind of good stuff, you know? You with me so far?
I've heard all of that, and once I got married, I realized how much bullshit it was.
Well, I don't know if it was bullshit 500 years ago or 200 years ago, but it is bullshit today. It is a joke. And you talk to these guys, and by the way, there is a little crossover with criminal law. I talk to a lot of guys who have a criminal case from 5 years ago or 10 years ago that they were supposed to do things, or they were going to go to court, or they had to pay fines, or they had to take classes, or they had to do something for their completion of their probation or something, and they didn't show up or they didn't do it. And so they're not sure what happened. And what happened, of course, is that there's a warrant for their arrest for not finishing whatever they were supposed to do in court. You can't just not show up, you know. You can't just stop dealing with it. It doesn't go away. And people believe, seriously, that after they come up with any number. After 4 years or after 7 years, it gets erased from the books or something. That's not true. And, I mean, when you talk about it in the case of marriage and so forth, you know, it is unbelievable how these things are. And the tendency that I've seen, and this is amazing to me, is, like we said, the opposite of how it was. The vows are taken to be a joke. The issue itself is taken to be a joke. Marriage is a joke. You talk to women, the husband goes abroad to fight in Iraq or whatever. And they're just saying, well, I was lonely, so I started, you know, fucking this guy or whoever. And it's like, are you serious? How could you do that? Well, my husband, you know, he was neglecting me. It's like, didn't you make this thing? You're supposed to make a vow, you know, to be faithful and forsaking all others. And, you know, when they say this at the wedding, and I've gone to a few weddings over the years, you know, all the women are crying. You know, did you ever notice that, Tom?
Of course.
They're all hysterical. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What love they share. What a commitment they're making to one another. Oh, my God. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And they really get into this very kind of hyper emotionality, and you see women, you know, sobbing through the whole thing. And I'm not talking about the bride and her family. I'm just talking about, like, women in the audience, you know. And there's this definite disconnect, and you can see it. It's tremendous between, like, television, I guess, you know, or and this kind of imagination thing that women have if they actually attend a wedding or their friends are getting married, and the reality, what it actually is and what it actually means. And, you know, one of the things that you pointed out, Tom, is that, you know, if she's on Facebook and the prom king is going to be in town next week or whatever, she's going to go see him. she's going to.
Or the quarterback.
Or, definitely.
Or the her one-time fiancé who just happened to be in town or whoever.
Yeah, she.
They're always going to do what they want.
Of course. There's no way you're going to stop people from doing what they want. And she's going to give herself the story, you know, that she's only going to meet him for a drink or for lunch, you know, but you better believe she's going to have fresh panties on, okay?
That's
and
right.
When she gets to his hotel, you know, as a woman, she can go through a whole list of plausible deniability. Well, I didn't mean to, and I didn't go there to have sex with him, but I went there, and, you know, I had a few drinks, and then he was so handsome, and, you know, one thing led to another.
Yeah,
they
can
just keep telling themselves this, you know?
Right. Well, and the other thing they'll always say is, he's my friend. Can a girl have friends?
Why being so controlling, asking me about it?
Right.
Well, it's incredible, but you see how when the dust settles, I think women get very, very practical. And you see that this woman realized that she wasn't going to get any money from the guy who actually got her pregnant. And so she said, wait a minute, I'm married. I can go after my husband, you know, even though I haven't seen him in 15 years or whatever. And, you know, one of the crazy things in life, unfortunately, is that, you know, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. And if this woman had any humanity or decency whatsoever, she wouldn't sue this guy. She wouldn't do that to him. She hasn't seen him in 17 years. You know, he's her ex-husband for all practical purposes. Why should he have to pay for a child that's not his? But she doesn't give a crap. And as long as she can get money, it doesn't matter if it's fair or unfair or reasonable or just or anything. That doesn't cross her mind at all. And there's actually another interesting article. This is also in my favorite, the English Daily Mail, Tom. You turned me on to that, by the way.
Yes.
They have good stuff, Tom. There's a lot of articles. I mean, you see how the American media does not cover a lot of subjects that they don't think are important, you know? And if you look at some of the overseas papers, particularly in Europe or whatever, you can get a lot of these interesting things. And a lot of them are actually stories about the United States. But I guess, you know, the Europeans find them more interesting than we do. But anyways, it doesn't matter. There's this couple, and they got married. And the woman apparently was more successful than he was or whatever. And now they're showing this as sort of the graying of divorce. They're older people. They both got married in their 50s, and now they're in their 60s, 10 years later. And so it's kind of like, you know, after all the children are gone and everything. But the bottom line is that he's divorcing her. He's not happy or whatever it is. And in the context of the divorce, even though they weren't together all their lives, they were together for a while. And so he's asking her, and apparently going to get a payout. He's going to get $500,000 or something like that because, you know, during the time they were married, she made money more than him and so forth and so on. Anyway, the point is that the wife has to pay the husband. And she goes on for 2.5 paragraphs about how unjust it is and how unfair it is and how wrong it is, and that she has to go into debt now to pay it, and it's going to delay her retirement, and it's inconveniencing to her, it's taking money away from her children, and on and on and on. It is this unbelievable self-righteousness of this woman who, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot, would take every last dime she could. And here she's like, you know, kind of sobbing to herself how wrong it is that she has to pay the husband, you know, which obviously is the price of equality. If you're going to do the law, it goes potentially both ways. You know, I have so many cases of guys, including my own clients directly, the ones that I've gotten custody of their children, or I've gotten them primary custody, and they will not go after the woman for child support. They just won't. And I say, what are you, out of your mind? You think she would have hesitated for 1 second? You know? And they say, well, I'm a man. I don't want to get, she's a chick. I don't want to, you know, it's like an amazing thing that's so.
What they do?
Yeah, but it's so deeply programmed in our subconscious, Tom. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
If you had it, you go for it, for Christ's sake. What? You no? Say, she wouldn't think twice, believe me.
Right?
She's going to show you no mercy. Okay.
Oh. If I could do it, I would do it. Fortunately, I don't need to do it.
Yes, you, of course.
Not because I can afford it, but simply because I'm not having any kids, and I'm not getting married, and so I won't need any of that. But the guys who do, you know, if you're in a position to take vagina money or to take child support from a woman you've been with, grab it. Take it. And roll around in it.
It's got to be something very deeply psychological, Tom. I think when we talk about the way women behave, which is based on, you know, biology, things that they don't even realize they're doing, I think that for men there is a corollary to that, where men are programmed to protect women, to defend women. You know, as the man, you're supposed to shelter your children and a woman or whatever, and that whole chivalry thing, which is, you know, very much broken down in society. There are still aspects of it that are imprinted on us on our DNA level. And I will say to a guy, okay, so you got to go after her for child support. And he wouldn't even have thought of it. He goes, really? What do you mean? I go, well, you've got the kids 90% of the time. Well, I don't think I can get child support. I go, yeah, you can. Of course you can. Let's go for it. Oh, I don't think I want to do that. You know, I don't get paid child. It's like, I'm like arguing with him. It's amazing, you know, and women are so enthusiastic. There was a woman who called me, who was living in an apartment building, and she had left her, she had a young child, and she had left her young child a few times with one of the neighbors who was like a single guy, and he was helping her once in a while babysitting. And she says on the phone to me, you know, he's watching my baby a few times a week, can I sue him for child support, you know? And I said to her, I mean, he's doing you a favor. You're out slutting it up, going to work, whatever you were doing. He was helping you out of his kindness. He didn't charge her anything. He just liked kids. And, he was, you know, being a good neighbor. And the wheels are turning in her head, which is that because he's a man, he's spending time with a child, even though it's not his child, of course, you know, maybe she could sue him and get some money, you know?
Right.
And that's just the way the world works today. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I know. All right, I'm going to take a break here, Adam, because we've got calls, and they want to get to you, and I want to give them that chance to get at you. And we're talking with family law attorney Adam Sachs, and he's here to give you free legal advice that you're going to get right now. All you have to do is call Adam at this number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. 901-3000-866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. By the way, Adam, you're going to be at the party this Friday, right?
Hell yes.
The big 4th anniversary party for the Tom Likas Show. Adam Sachs will be there. Gary and Dina will be there. Mikey Timpson will be there. I'll be there. And plenty of P1s from around the world are going to be there. Get your tickets right now. All you have to do is go to letmein.party. Get your tickets. Letmein.party. It's Friday night, April 1st at Busby's East on Wilshire Boulevard. Get your tickets right now by going to www.letmein.party. letmein.party.
Can't wait, Tom. I'm going to bring some Likettes with me, too.
Oh, nice. Very good.
Very important. I want it to be a sausage fest, you know.
I'm loving that. All right. It's all good. It's all happening this Friday. Oh, by the way, Dean J. D'Amelio had a special delivery today.
Really?
So he's ready for the party also.
Yay.
Dean was dressed a little strange today.
I had to try it on.
You tried it on?
Yep. It fits perfect. It's going to be awesome. The Colonel shall live.
There have been three recent people playing Colonel Sanders on TV, and Dean now is going to make himself the fourth Colonel Sanders Friday night at the party, and you'll get to see Dean as the Colonel. Are you going to bring some chicken with you? Just
if I guarantee if I brought chicken, it wouldn't make it from KFC to the
right.
event. I will have eaten it.
You might have to bring extra.
You know how I am. Extra crispy, baby. Come on.
Yes. Dean is coming as Colonel Sanders.
He has a wig, Tom.
I love it.
I mean, he's gone whole hog.
He's got, like, the bolo tie and everything.
I got the tie. I have the goatee. I have the glasses. I got everything.
I'm loving it.
It was shocking, Tom.
Oh, did you see him in the outfit?
There's no doubt about it.
Wow.
I did not at first know that it was Dean. It was shocking.
Really? Did you think it was Jim Gaffigan?
I don't know. I think he's taking it very seriously. That's all I can say.
I'm glad to hear that.
Tom laid out the challenge. It shall be done.
All right. I love that.
Very nice.
All right. Letmein.party is where you get your tickets. How could you want to miss Dean J. D'Amelio as Colonel Sanders? Maybe the most appropriate outfit we've had for him yet. All right, we got calls, lots of them, 901-3000-TOM. That's the number for family law attorney Adam Sachs. You're calling in right now. Steve in Hollywood, hello.
Tom, Adam, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Steve.
Sure.
Hey, so reason why I'm calling is because I want to fight for custody for my daughter. I want to have full custody, and I just want to know what can I do to prepare myself, basically.
Well, you know, there's a lot of circumstances where that's a good idea. Primarily, most states, including California, want joint custody, which means sharing between the two parents 50-50. But as a practical reality, you know, we know how unfair it really is. Most of the time, the children end up with the mother. And dad becomes this, you know, Sunday dad or every other weekend dad or one day a week dad or whatever. Depending on the situation, you know, legally, theoretically, it's supposed to be an equal choice. And so, if you as the father have, for example, a more stable life, let's say mom is living with her parents or she's moving around and you have a house, you have a stable job, you know, you're a better possibility for the child. The school district that you're living in is better. There are a lot of factors that are considered. You can certainly go in and argue, and I have done it many times successfully, and end up with primary custody, which is probably what you're really talking about. Normally custody
yes.
doesn't go to just one parent unless the other parent, like, I don't know if she's a drug addict or she's a child abuser or something like that. But I have to tell you, and this is something you have to think about very carefully, and I don't know the circumstances in your particular case, but the fights for custody are the nastiest fights of all. I must say, you know, people disagree about bank accounts and retirement accounts and who's going to get the house and who's going to get the knives and forks, as Tom always says. But when you fight over a child, it's heavy stuff. And today, women are very quick to say that you're a child abuser, that there's sores around the girl's vagina, and that the father must have done it to her. I mean, this is not a joke. And so, if you're going to do something like this, you have to be prepared to be scrutinized. So if you ever smoked weed or you have a criminal conviction or a DUI in your past or whatever, all these kinds of things are going to come out. They're going to be tried to be used against you. You know, they'll have your friends come in and say that you acted inappropriately. There's all kinds of stuff that comes up. And I got to tell you, in terms of the fight itself, it's expensive. And it's not only legal costs, which are, of course, you know, a big problem, but you have to hire therapists and counselors and evaluators and custody evaluator experts and so forth. And, you know, the whole thing is a nightmare. I was talking to Tom about this last week and the week before, that I think that guys today, if they really want to have a child, should seriously consider surrogacy, which is something that I've been working on, which would mean that the child that you have would just be yours and would be, you know, born from a surrogate mother. And so if you have women in your life, they may come and go, or even if you get married, the child is not a custody issue because it's your child. But to have where you have the child the way most people traditionally do it today, where you have a living mother and you and her are married, or you get divorced or separated or whatever, and then you sue each other for custody, it's definitely it's going to be blood, sweat, and tears. There's no doubt about it.
Wow, and all that is just for primary custody.
Well, because, like I said, theoretically, it's supposed to be joint custody. If you're pressing for primary custody, you got to assume that mom is not going to be very happy about that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm done having more kids. I'm done. Like, I already set up my mind. But my daughter, she's already 8 years old. She's like, I pretty much am a big part of her life, physically and emotionally.
But her mother is going to want to marry a new guy or get involved with a new guy, and for him to be her father. And for you to fuck off and pay child support and shut up and be glad about it, okay? And so for you to well, of course. They all do this now. It's just normal. So the point is, if you assert yourself and you say, no, I want primary custody, you think she's going to go quietly into the night? She's going to use every single tool that she can think of, fair and unfair. She's going to take the kid and move away. She's going to try to intimidate you. She's going to have her new fiance, husband, whatever he is, threaten you. She's going to hire the nastiest lawyer she can find to file all kinds of documents against you. And like I said, she's going to dig stuff from your past and things about you to try to suggest that you're bad and you're a bad parent. And the other thing they do, which is incredibly awful, is she'll poison your child against you. I've seen very serious examples where the mother tells, even your child who's 8 years old thinks highly of you. Oh, did you know your father told me to have an abortion on you? You know, that he didn't even want you to be born? Can you imagine telling that to a child, what harm that would cause emotionally? And these women do it without even thinking twice. So then you have the child who's, you know, accusing you of molesting her or hitting her and hates you. And, you know, that this is like so poisoned. How are you going to follow through on a fight for child custody on a child that's going to come into court and tell all the therapists, you know, that she hates you? Think about that. That's what goes on today.
I always considered that. I always considered that part that I never wanted to put her through. But it's just, I'm just fed up with her mom. She takes advantage too much of. She thinks she has the upper hand, even though she hardly sees.
That's how they play it. The woman's attitude is that the child, all the children, belong to her, and that she's the boss, and then you as the father, she's doing you a big favor, letting you see your kids once in a while, you know, as soon as it suits her, and it's on her schedule when she deems it to be okay. And the problem is that, you know, legally and every other way, including biologically, it's 50-50, you know, but women don't give a shit about that. And it doesn't really matter what the law says. So you have to fight very hard. And I certainly would recommend very highly. I don't know if you're talking primary custody, but you definitely have to fight at least to get joint custody and to make sure that your rights as a father are written down and she follows them and you hold her feet to the fire if she doesn't.
So what should I avoid doing? Because, I mean, like you just mentioned earlier, like, yes, I do have prior DUIs, and I smoke weed every day.
Oh, great.
So.
You don't think that she's going to mention that to the court?
Well, now that you mention it, yeah.
Okay, well.
So, I mean.
As far as your DUIs, I'd get them expunged. I can help you with that. And as far as smoking weed every day, that's a pretty stupid thing to do anyway. I think you should, settle that back a little. There's nothing wrong with using it in moderation, but every day is not smart anyway, unless you have cancer or something like that. And broadly speaking, you go into the fight with your eyes open, you get yourself a serious lawyer such as myself, and you don't hold back. You get ready for a real fight. That's the truth. That's how you do it.
All right. Well, thanks, Adam.
Of course.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
That's a little naive, don't you think, Tom?
Absolutely. But, I mean, if he's got these guys,
yeah, but if he's
got these guys, and you hear it, you know.
I'm sorry, but if he has a background of DUIs, several, he said, plus he's smoking weed every day, he seriously thinks that she's not going to mention that to the judge to discredit him? She knows all the shit, right? She lived with him or whatever.
Right.
She was his girlfriend. So it's amazing how these guys forget to tell me these things, and then we find out in court, and they're like, oh, I didn't think she was going to say anything about that. Yeah, why wouldn't she?
What happens if you're an alcoholic and there's a custody question? Now, you're laughing.
It's going to make you look bad, Tom. What do you think?
Yeah, but on the one hand, it makes you look bad. On the other hand, there's a significant number of people out there who have recharacterized alcoholism not as a weakness, but a disease.
Yes, of course a disease, and you have a lot of functional alcoholics. To be honest with you, Tom, I don't think you're an alcoholic, but you drink. You like to drink. That's pretty clear. And you have wine cellars and all this kind of stuff, right?
Right.
Well, if I was against you, and I know, of course, you don't have kids, but if you did, and I was representing your ex-wife, I would bring that up. I'd say, look, the guy drinks, he's got booze everywhere, he's got wine cellars, he's got a real problem, you know? And then what are you going to say? You're going to prove a negative? No, I'm not an alcoholic. I only drink in moderation.
No, my argument would be the one that everyone else gives. I'd say, well, I have a disease.
Oh, really?
I shouldn't be denied custody of my kid because I have a disease.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
See, it's interesting how they call it a disease in some places.
Yeah, when it suits womankind, it's a disease.
Right. Yeah, I know. All right, 901-3000, Tom. We're here with Adam Sachs. Let's say hello here to, Andy in Olympia, Washington. Andy, you're on the Tom Likas show with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Adam.
Hello.
I have a question.
What's up?
There's, at least in Washington State, there's such thing as legal separation.
Right.
You can go to court and request to be separated. That includes, potentially, if you ask, I guess part of it is financial separation. So I wonder if you could marry someone and then separate immediately. So you're still married, and I don't know that part, but are you still eligible for, you know, filing taxes together, giving her health care and other things, maybe immigration benefits, you know, with federal law stuff. And then, you know, when it comes to divorce, you say, oh, you know, you're not getting half of my whatever I accumulated over the years because we were separated all that time.
Well, it's an interesting thought, but obviously you're trying to twist some kind of legal doctrine to serve some other purpose, okay? And all you need is one judge who sees what you did, and he's going to say, sorry, I'm not going along with this, okay? You have to remember
that. Believe that might not work?
Well, I'll give you an example. When you talk about these people that get a fake marriage, essentially, in order to get legal status in the U.S., like a green card or whatever marriage, you know, the woman, when you're going into it, is saying, let's say she's the alien, right? She says, oh, God, you know, I appreciate this so much, and you're helping me so much, and thank you, thank you, thank you, and I was afraid I was going to get deported, and it's my dream to live in America, and blah, blah. So here you are helping her, you know, from her issue of getting deported and her issue of her problem of working and all this other stuff. And, you know, she's so grateful, but you'll find that gratitude is very short-lived. And later on, you know, a couple years down the line, when you're, you know, officially ending the marriage, she's going to sue you, and she's going to say it was a real marriage, and she wants alimony, and she wants half your property and half your earnings and all this other stuff.
Right.
And you're going to say
that could happen for sure.
Yeah,
but
so
if she has her own lawyer,
no,
you
I
know,
understand.
During the separation,
I'm with
and,
you,
and you might stay like for 2 years. That's all required for her to grant green card, and then divorce. And even if you screwed at that time, you don't have kids, you just were married for 2 years, with separation, in the worst case, you don't owe her much, but at least you tested the laws, and you may be, you know, in the books for the precedents.
That's not a good idea. She's gonna change her mind. I have seen cases where people were married for a year or two, and the divorce took 8 to 10 years to resolve, okay? So there's no reason that she cannot drag you over the coals and torture you, even if you had a separation or whatever you're talking about, which I think is crazy, by the way. I don't know why people do that. I think if you're going to file in court, you file for a divorce and get it over with. But if you're not sure what the hell you're doing, you're all mixed up. What you're talking about, I think more likely, would be better served with some kind of a prenuptial agreement, where you agree not to have, you know, community property, and you agree not to pay alimony, and this is something you could do and then have a marriage, divorce later on, and these things wouldn't apply because you would put them in the prenuptial agreement.
Right, you might have too, but in at least in Washington State, you cannot write certain things in prenup, like wages.
No, you can get rid of
after
community.
After separation, you know, you marry, and a week after that, you separate.
Okay.
Your wages are separate.
Okay. First of all, you can put it in the prenup, but in any case, Andy, it sounds to me like you really want to do this. So be my guest, okay?
Maybe she's old enough, it's worth the risk for 2 years.
I think
you're not losing much, you know, maybe
not,
this is 2 years of your income.
It's not a good idea. Not a good idea. It's not going to sleaze through the system the way you say it's going to. One way or another, she's going to turn on you. And when she tells the judge, she's going to tell the judge that this is what the agreement was, that he insisted and forced me to do a separation so that he wouldn't have to pay me, and blah, blah, and the judge is going to throw the whole thing out in 10 seconds flat.
What I would do, I would tell her, you know, go and separate. If you're not separating, I'm divorcing you, and that's it. So, you know, she initiates it. I'll be the responder. She'll be the petitioner.
Yes, so you're blackmailing her into doing it? You're forcing her, extorting her? You think that's going to work?
Oh, no, nobody's witnessing it. She, calls any problem before that. That's it. I'm divorcing
I have to be honest. It doesn't sound like true love to me.
Of course not. I don't want to love her. I just want to fuck her, you know, for 2 years.
So don't marry her, okay?
All right.
There's
thanks.
Plenty of girls you can sleep with that you don't have to marry and defraud the government to be with.
There are a few called here, but they don't want to talk to you.
No, you could get a foreign woman if you really want to. You can go to the Ukraine, or you can go to Thailand and get someone, no problem. And maybe she'll actually want to be with you. You're talking about essentially giving this woman something so in exchange for sex, when you actually feel nothing for her.
That's another subject. My experience is that, you know, from work, a bunch of people, a bunch of guys, they're marrying Asian women. After 3 years, they become worse than American.
Right.
You know, they learn all this stuff.
By the way,
I
talked about this a couple of shows ago. I talked specifically about marrying a foreign bride, and I said not to do it. I said that it would be a terrible mistake, and they're going to become worse than American, just what you've just said. But the idea, what you're trying to sleaze the system by marrying her and divorcing her, or getting separated and then keeping her for 2 years, please don't do it, Andy. It's not a good idea. You're going to regret it.
Well, we don't
know,
really. You know, if there's no precedence, we don't know.
Well, don't experiment, okay?
All right. Thanks for the advice.
God bless.
He's going to do it.
I know, Tom, I'm supposed to rubber stamp that, right?
If I test it, I call you back and tell how it went.
He's going to test it.
He's absolutely decided. He's trying to get me to say it's a good idea, and there's no way I'm going
to
say it.
Sign off on that.
I'm not signing off.
Actually, I'm going to ask her to get you as a lawyer and a petition for separation. I'll be the responder.
All right, well, you're out of your fucking mind. Please don't do it, okay?
Oh, my. You can get disbarred for that, Adam.
I'm not getting into it, man.
Wow. All right.
How am I getting disbarred? I told him not to, Tom, please.
No, but I mean...
I told him 10 times not to do it.
His idea is to get his girl to hire you to be the attorney, but then for you to help him...
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I'll represent her against him. Is this love, Tom? What are we talking about, romance here? Is this what women were talking about with romantic love? That he's getting this woman so he can slam her with a sledgehammer when he needs to?
You know, what can I say? These are the guys I talk to all day, Adam. I hear this stuff all day.
Yes, indeed.
This is what I...
Likewise, Tom. I think we share the same problem.
Probably because you're getting the same callers I'm getting. They call me, they call you. 901-3000, Tom, that's our telephone number. For family law attorney Adam Sachs, it's free legal advice for you. Call and talk to Adam right now, 901-3000, Tom, that's the number. 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. Bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with family law attorney out of Saxon Studio. 901-3000-866. Let's say hi to Eric in Lewisburg, West Virginia. Eric, You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I have been fraudulently accused of domestic violence by my girlfriend who is living with me in my home.
Wow.
And
classic stuff, man.
Yeah, and Adam, you know, you and I actually talked a couple of years ago.
Really?
And, I called you, and I'm not going to talk too much about the previous call. You were fucking tough on me. And
were you with the same girl?
Yes.
Did I warn you? I mean, come on.
Well, what you did was you actually, you know, honestly, if I'd have had low self-esteem after getting off the phone with you, I probably would have jumped off a bridge or killed myself.
Oh,
but I don't have
harsh.
Low self-esteem.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, man, he is fucking hard, and I can see how potentially some guys that want to work with him will be put off by it. And At the time, I remember thinking to myself, he sounds jaded and frustrated with guys that are always doing this stuff and getting themselves in trouble. And I remember you told me, you literally would tell me, you're fucking mentally ill. You're mentally ill. I want you to get off this phone and you check yourself in to a mental health facility. And I had called you for some help on the issue, and that really didn't get to that point. But I didn't take it personal, and I've always continued to listen to the show, and your segment is my favorite.
Thanks.
But the allegations in this order are completely fraudulent. I'm not a violent person. I've never been violent.
So wait.
At all.
So I'm sorry. So this is your wife or your girlfriend?
No, I'm not married. Never had any kids. This
How long have you been with
again,
her?
My on again, off again, long time girlfriend of over 10 years.
And I told you to get rid of her 3 years ago.
You really didn't say much. You just said I was fucking mentally ill and I needed. Well, I think you might have said get rid of her, but then go check yourself into a mental health facility.
Okay. I don't know.
But the reason I'm calling is. You know, I'm trying to get ahead of this.
What is ahead? So you're still living with her until now, and you got into some kind of incident?
No. Excuse me?
An incident happened?
Well, what happened was I caught her cheating on me.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And the moment I did that, I realized I was in hot water because she was in my house with me. She had all the power and the control. And I immediately started making preparations, frankly. You know, to distance myself from her, I called a friend of mine and asked him if he had a spare bedroom, and I started making other preparations. I met with some buddies at work one night. And we were mapping out like a step-by-step plan to try to control this because I was concerned that when I confronted her with this stuff, that she would try to pull something like this. And I was conditioned like this primarily from listening to your show, and. What ended up happening was I confronted her about this and called her a liar. And what ended up happening is I was actually working out of the office. I have a home office in my home, and I was actually went to a client's during the day, and I came back home where she was after confronting her about this over the phone. She had taken the locks. She had taken the locks off my doors. My clothes were outside on the front porch. I came in. She said, I want you out of here. This is my house. And this was basically running her mouth. And her son was in there. And I basically said,
Whoa. She's a single mother?
Yeah, she's a single mother.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on,
and,
man.
Look, I'm going to tell you guys, I just found Tom's show on TuneIn when he started up.
Now do you see why I lost my patience with you? Come on.
Yes, I do. Look, I'm just stating the facts. I'm not mad about it.
It's not a question of mad. I'm worried about your situation now. She's thrown you out of your own house?
You. Pardon me?
She's thrown you out of your own house?
Yeah, she threw me out of my own house. Basically, what happened when I showed up just to get some additional things because I already made arrangements.
Crazy.
I agree with you.
Well, she has a restraining order against you?
Well, what she did was when I showed up at the house to get additional things to leave, and she was being real belligerent towards me or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of stood back and I look at these locks taken off my door and my clothes outside, and I thought, you know what? I'm not doing anything. I'm going to leave anyway. But I got rights here, and so I called the police. okay?
Oh, really? Then, you think they're going to take your side?
Well, in retaliation, she calls the police. Two troopers from the same department show up down there almost simultaneously. And what ends up happening is one of them takes my statement, and I'm real balanced. That, look, hey, she's cheating on me. I know how this works. I don't want no problems. I'm going to get out of here and try to handle my property affairs from a distance. And I guess when they took her statement, that's when she started alleging a bunch of crap, okay? And so the other cop that took her statement comes over to me, and I'm sitting on my front porch, and he asked me a question. He said, did you have an argument with her on Sunday? Did you choke her? And I immediately said, absolutely not. And that's when I got the idea that she was up to something. Ultimately, they didn't arrest me or anything like that because there were no marks on her neck because I didn't do anything. But I left, okay, and they apparently, she went downtown and filed a domestic violence complaint. An EPO, an emergency protective order, was issued. I was served on Easter, 5 o'clock in the morning on Easter Sunday. And, I've interviewed two attorneys. I've also been doing my own research, and I just had some questions for you and looking for any additional insights, you can
Eric,
give me to help.
Eric, don't you see how you brought so much of this on yourself? Seriously.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Every red flag in the universe, okay? She's already crazy. You called me years ago trying to get rid of her. She's a single mother. I mean, for God's sake, okay? And now she's staked out your house.
Full responsibility for this.
No, but it's not that. She changed the locks on your own house, threw your stuff in the driveway. It's only by the grace of God that those cops didn't arrest you. And you're going to end up being charged with domestic violence, which really is a difficult charge to fight. So, I mean, you can't get involved with a crazy woman and do all this nutsy stuff. It's going to come back in a very negative way. And you said you interviewed a few lawyers. You better get one and stop kidding around. And you don't call the police and talk to the police. They're not your friends. You know, they're trained to arrest the man. That's you. Okay?
Yes.
Get yourself a lawyer. Stop fooling around. You've got to look inside yourself and ask yourself why you let this all happen. That's what I was talking to you about on the phone all those years ago. Because this is nutty stuff. You don't need this drama in your life. Life is short. Okay? You're going to live with some crazy broad for 10 years and let her ruin your life and take all your possessions? That's stupid. I don't care who she is. She's not worth it.
Okay. I agree with you. Everything that you said, I agree with 100%.
But you still love her, right?
No. When I found this out that she was cheating, it was a straw broke the camel's back.
She did was okay, but cheating was the final draw.
I mean, I'd never known her. Honestly, I'd never known her to be dishonest and cheat, and we had issues.
Yeah, just all of a sudden.
I mean, there were times, that I probably wasn't very nice to her.
Oh, so you deserve it. You deserve it, of course. I understand.
No. Well, no. I mean, I was never.
You were bad to her.
It's
only fair that she called the cops on you. That makes sense.
No,
so what's the big question you want to ask me? I don't follow.
I didn't. You know, I don't believe that I deserved to have the cops called on me. But prior to a hearing like this, do I have like discovery rights at all?
Well, you really need to hire a lawyer. Okay.
Okay.
Don't try to do this yourself.
No, I'm not. But I've interviewed two attorneys. Okay.
Hire one of them.
Okay. But I've also read some information by some men's rights groups like the Equal Justice Foundation.
Yeah.
And there's another group called the National Brotherhood of men's rights.
Okay.
And they talk about the importance of selecting the right kind of attorney because their philosophies can be different going into this hearing.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, if they fail, all the consequences are on you.
Right.
And I met with two attorneys, and frankly, they both reached a conclusion that based off of everything I presented to them, that this is going to get thrown out. Okay.
Great.
So, I mean, I felt good about that, but some of the allegations in the protective order are just preposterous. Like, we had a child. We had an unplanned pregnancy back in 2011.
No, it was only unplanned by you.
Right.
There's Tom chiming in.
He's right.
Maybe it was only unplanned by me. We had an unplanned pregnancy back in We had an unplanned pregnancy back in 2011.
We didn't have anything. I mean, she had one.
Okay.
And it wasn't unplanned.
Tom, how can I reason with this guy, Tom? Please help me.
I'm trying to reason with him. Tell him right now, buddy, Huey. Yeah, you're the victim of your own, you're delusional. You're delusional thinking this is a relationship.
Guys, how many times do I got to say that I agree with you, okay, so we can get to some of the questions?
But then you start telling us you haven't gotten to the questions yet, and then you're starting to tell us here that you have an unplanned pregnancy. There are no unplanned pregnancies. When women get pregnant, they're planning on it, and usually part of the plan is not to tell you about it.
Can you imagine the fix you'd be in if you'd had a kid with this chick?
Yes.
Ten times worse.
I often think that, you know, in certain respects, you know, I dodge some bullets. But
let me ask a question. Are you still having sex with her from time to time?
No. I mean, no. The last
never? A couple of days
ago. This happened so fast. Okay. This
happened over 10 years. It didn't happen fast.
Right.
And you must have called me 3 years ago for a reason. Things weren't going so well then either.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. I did. Okay. I mean,
But you stayed. You let it get worse.
We were in a downturn, okay?
Uh-huh. No.
Now you're in an upturn.
More excuses.
I love it, man.
Listen, guys, I really would like to ask some questions.
Where are the questions? Come on, you never get to them.
Get to them.
Well, guys, you're beating the hell out of me.
You've been on the phone for 12 minutes and 15 seconds. Let's go.
All right. Okay. So I asked about discovery rights, and Adam didn't answer my question. He said,
I'm sure you have discovery rights. So what? Get a lawyer. Anything else?
Okay. I talked to two of the attorneys, and they're pretty confident it's going to get overturned. But
why didn't you hire one of them?
Yeah, I'm going to. I want to hire the
when?
Right one, okay?
You're not going to. That's the whole point. Don't you see that?
I guarantee you.
Really?
I guarantee you I'm going to hire an attorney. Okay?
By when?
I'll call you back.
By when?
I'll call you back and tell you I did.
After court is over.
3 months from now.
Okay.
But anyway,
I hope you do for your sake. I really do.
I'm going to. But I'm trying to pick the right attorney.
Right.
And what I'm concerned about is both the attorneys basically were focusing on a couple of what they deemed to be critical issues, and they pretty much dismissed some of the stuff that seemed more outlandish in the petition. Like, she claims that I caused our miscarriage, when the fact of the matter is it was a problem pregnancy. And we were told every time we went to the doctor, every ultrasound, every scan, that the likelihood of us having this child was very slim. And so she makes this allegation, and the attorneys see this in the petition, and they're like, "Don't worry about that. By the way,
if both attorneys, I've interviewed attorneys many times,
right?
If I get two attorneys that tell me the exact same thing, it's like going to a doctor and getting a second opinion. You know, if two attorneys tell me the exact same things to be concerned about, they're probably right.
You're right. I thought about that.
Hire one of these guys and knock it out.
All right. I mean, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about consistency, and I got consistent opinions from these two, and the critical issues were consistent. But let me ask you this. I talked to another person, an expert in this area. His name is Dennis Gack. He runs the National Fatherhood for Men's Rights. And
you don't have time to make a national case out of this. You need to hire an attorney in West Virginia and knock this out.
I understand that, but my understanding
is... No, you don't. Because you still haven't hired an attorney.
I've talked to attorneys, and they told me that I can request a continuance, okay?
Why do you want to do that?
Because I want to make the right decision on an attorney.
The decision should not be made by an activist group. The decision should be made by an attorney who practices your state.
Okay, that's a good point. I was weighing that off.
It's a great point.
You worded it very well.
I mean, I'm an activist, okay, but it doesn't matter what I say. I would tell you, hire a lawyer.
Well, guys, I'm going to hire a lawyer, okay?
Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. is when you're going to hire a lawyer, not 3 weeks from tomorrow morning.
My plan was to hire one tomorrow. Okay?
No, perfect. Stop planning. Start doing.
All right.
All right. Thank you. That's all I can take.
That was intense, Tom.
Killing me. Damien in Chicago, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom, it's not a question for you and Adam, but how you gentlemen doing?
Hey, Damien.
I tell you,
how'd you like that last call there, Damien? How'd you make it through that, huh?
Well, here's mine, make it short as possible. And it's a sad story about marriage and fatherhood. December 5th, my mother had left this earth. It was a tumultuous week for both of us. It started that Tuesday, December 1st. Me and my youngest had got into verbal altercation in my vehicle, very disrespectful. So basically I was shutting down from her. You say, give it to mother. Y'all get your bags. You're not coming over to my home anymore. The next day, that Wednesday, she was at my mother's. My mother was trying to talk to her about what happened between us. No, not the Wednesday. It was a Thursday. And so that was December 3rd. I got a call from my mother. I was on my way to one of my jobs because I had to work three jobs to survive since my divorce and child support and shit. It's not a joke. And so I turned her back around. My mother was in distress. And they had just gotten into it over because my daughter was disrespectful. When I got to my mother's house, it got even worse. My mother was sitting in her chair, distraught. She's a diabetic. She was a diabetic. And she was very distressed, so I guess the presence of me as her son calmed her down, plus I got her some water and an orange to get her sugar down, you know. And me and her were talking. My daughter, she told me they got into it, not physical altercation, but very volatile. She kicked in the door to my mother's room. She told her she don't like the lady anyway, and she told her that this is her pawpaw's house, my stepfather, her husband. And my mother was done with her also. This week, we found out that a cousin, my mother and this cousin, they're like big sister, little sister. Her cancer has came back spreading through her body. That was weighing on my mother. And then now this had came along, and it really distressed my mother. I really think my mother left this world because of a crushed heart, not broken. And her last encounter with my daughter and her, it was real volatile and everything. I can't get it. So 3 months later, March 5th, we buried this cousin, me and my other two cousins. This is their mother, and it's a hard thing on me. So, Adam, March 5th, I'm going to pick up my children so we can go to our cousin's funeral. My oldest tell me, she's not here, Dad. I'm like, where's she at? I figured what happened, because it also started with a text. She said, do I have to stay for the funeral, just for the funeral? Can I leave after the funeral? I didn't respond to her. This is a 15-year-old child, because she wanted to go get some damn gym shoes from Jordan. So my stepfather took her to go wait in line for this shit when we should be getting to my cousin's funeral and burial. And so I told them, just go to the church. Don't go to my cousin's house, get dressed up and all that shit, you know, dress at the church. So get there. I gave her the bag. She got out the car. She didn't have a bag in her hand. So she come in there. I said, please, just go in and get dressed, you know, look presentable. So went to the funeral and went in and didn't communicate or nothing. Hello?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, okay.
And I think
this is the ultimate thing here. I'm at one of my jobs now, as you can hear. So the ending of this was at my cousin's burial, Adam and Tom. My daughter's sitting in the fucking car, sitting in my stepfather's car, her grandfather's car. And I didn't go belligerent. I just told both of them, I just told my stepfather, y'all can just go. Don't come to the repair. See, trying to argue with me that we're going to come. No, just go. I don't need this. My mother and his cousin, they were their last, their generation gone in like 90 days. So you know how I kind of feel. I haven't talked or seen my daughter since because I told my
wife. I understand, Damien, but Damien, one second. I think to make a long story short, you're not getting a lot of joy out of being a parent, huh?
No, there you go. No, I'm not. And a lot of guys, they think nothing's going to happen to them. And what I've learned, I think you guys would agree with this, the natural allegiance, no matter the sex of the child, is to the mother. You can be there and be their father, the good father, best as you can, and do all this shit, but unless something outrageous
No, but look how disrespectful child, she you know? Look how disrespectful she was to your mother, to her grandmother.
Right, my mother. And matter of fact, on my particular side of the family, it wasn't disrespect, but it's like she didn't want to be bothered, but yet my ex-wife's people or friends or some shit, she ain't got no problem with that shit, you know.
No, the thing is, one second, Damien, seriously, I think you're making an important point, and this is a sad reality, but a lot of people,
yes,
men
yeah.
and women, by the way, to be fair, I think they expect a lot out of parenthood, and they think it's going to be this beautiful experience, and a lot of times you're going to have this pissed off teenager, basically, disrespectful,
yeah.
nasty, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not
maybe you work it out later, but, you know, it's very disturbing. And a lot of people
right.
are very surprised at how little satisfaction they get from being a parent. And that's
I
true.
I don't really get much satisfaction, Tom. And
you basically, as a man,
like
you
I
get
say,
to pay.
I can't tell my children, but I wouldn't do it again. And I'm actually myself. I told my oldest, I'm not selfish. I don't have to have grandchildren. You're going to be poor. You'll be probably in bitter fights with your child's father when you talk about this marriage. Because these women are so thirsty for marriage, man. It's unbelievable. And I tell guys what can happen. I was talking to a doctor. I'm a X-ray CT tech here in Illinois.
Right.
And I was talking to a radiologist, and he only got two dogs. I said, the two dogs are going to treat you better than two children will. And you ain't missing a damn thing. You know, I try to tell guys about you guys, turn them on to you. Some guys don't listen. Some, all you can do is just give. Matter of fact, one last point. I got a young cousin. He posted on Facebook. He said, it's a dream of mine to be a husband and a father. I immediately messaged him, you know, off, not going through the post. I need to talk to you. I need you to call me as soon as possible. No joke. Now, my other cousin says, two aunts and an uncle, they're saying, oh, we're so proud of you. That's a good step. That's a good thing you doing. That is so precious. I'm looking like, boy, y'all filling this motherfucker's head up with some shit and everything. So I need to talk to him, get him reality, and let you know what you're up against and shit, you know, and everything. But it's always good talking with you. I'm a faithful listener whenever I can, you know. So.
We
wow.
love that.
Wow.
And really appreciate the call, Damien. And thank you as always for calling
You know,
in.
Tom, what he's talking about is so awful, but it's something that is very common. And they've done studies where they asked people, you know, like later in life, you know, if you could live your life over again, would you have children?
Right.
I'm sorry to report to you, Tom, but the vast majority of people say that it was something that they would not repeat.
Well, it was Ann Landers, the advice columnist, in the 70s. And
right.
Ann Landers was from the Midwest, super conservative. She was no liberal. And she asked her very conservative readers, if you had it to do over again, would you have kids? 70% of Ann Landers readers.
Jeez.
And Landers readers,
so
70% said they would not have kids a second time.
And what's remarkable, what he also mentioned just now, Damien just mentioned, is how hungry women are for marriage and how women, and we saw this in the other caller also, women are always having this little accident and getting pregnant, having a baby. It's so critical and important to them. But the reality of what actually happens, tragically, look at Damien's grandmother. She dies, and the granddaughter couldn't be bothered to go to her funeral, you know? She's more interested in a pair of sneakers. Now, that may not be the fulfillment that you were expecting, eh, Tom?
Right. Exactly right. All right, Adam, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. Check me out on Facebook. And send me an email, if you like, to adam@adamlawyer.com. I answer them personally.
You'll see Adam this Friday night in person at our fourth anniversary party. Get your tickets right now. Dean J. D'Amelio as Colonel Sanders, Adam Sachs as himself. You get your tickets right now by going to letmein.party. The website is letmein.party. That's www.letmein.party.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zdina.
Son of a lip.
Laser vaginal tightening is a thing. Laser vaginal tightening. If she's loose, you got the answer now.
So you could cure that whole hanging meat curtain thing.
Yeah.
Real simple.
It's called a femi lift. According to Alma Surgical, the procedure is a state-of-the-art, minimally invasive, outpatient solution.
Using lasers.
CO2 laser technology, apparently. Various feminine concerns can be taken care of. Not only can you get tightened up, but it might take care of some vaginal dryness, if that's what she's experiencing.
And incontinence.
Yeah, if she's pissing on you, you know.
Some people like that.
Some people do.
I'm not in that category.
Oh, I thought that's what you were inferring. I wasn't judging.
Negative.
Come on.
Thank you.
What you do in the bedroom is your business.
Right.
The less Tim's who walks in, then it's everybody's business. It turns out. As Oculus VR finally ships its virtual reality headsets to the public, and, of course, they're pushing them as gaming devices. We all, of course, know that this will now change the porn industry forever.
Exactly. And Facebook is banking on this. They have this new Rift headset. They bought Oculus VR. And there's only one thing to do other than game with these bad boys.
Yeah.
And that's to watch porn.
Why is Facebook getting involved in this? This is
weird.
It's
a smart investment.
Oh, all right. You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'll wait for Money Monday on that one. Just saying.
By the way, Mark Zuckerberg believed in it so much, he bought Oculus 2 years ago for $2 billion.
Right.
And the founder's name is Palmer Luckey. Mm-hmm. You're right.
How about that?
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. A woman in Florida claims that a hospital flushed her baby down the toilet. It wasn't alive, by the way. It was a miscarriage.
Right. Wellington Regional Hospital is the target of our girl, and she claims that the medical staff acted inappropriately following a miscarriage 2 years ago.
Mm.
Linda Gomez said she was 19 weeks pregnant when she went to the hospital because she was bleeding. She was waiting to see a doctor, used the restroom, and had a miscarriage. The hospital employee, according to our girl, claims that they refused to retrieve the baby.
Yeah,
they
didn't want to go in the toilet and get it, so they flushed it.
Right.
She was attached to the baby because it was in her womb for a while, and she crapped it out.
Right, and this has caused her to create an image that she can't forget.
Mm-hmm. Rapper Fat Trell busted for passing off counterfeit bills in a casino. That's not good. I didn't know that Maryland had casinos, by the way.
They do. Tencent will back that up right away.
How about your friend spending Easter Sunday morning in a Maryland casino passing off fake $50 bills? That's living the high life.
Casinos are not stupid, and when you look at the serial numbers, make sure they're not the same serial number on every $50 bill.
Yeah, your boy claims he got the money at a 7-Eleven ATM in Washington, D.C.
Don't blame ATMs.
7-Eleven's fault. Pick alerts for you. Check out Charlie Rina. She has a new book where she appears to be naked in just about every picture.
And she is, and they're awesome poses. This might be the best of her.
You think so?
This is better than the 138 Waters, I'll tell you.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Yeah, I mean, every single picture she just did completely topless, at least. There's nothing wrong there at all.
Unbelievable.
Plenty more at newsforguys.com, and you can check out our podcast at GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Isn't that nice? Really?